You may be seated. I invite you forward to receive the sign of the ashes.
Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return.
Please rise.
Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart.
With fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. As our Lord summons us to return to him with repentant hearts, we confess our sins and sorrow over them. Almighty God, we are unclean before you. We are marred and marked by the filth of sin. We have turned away from you by disobeying your commandments. We have rebelled against you by seeking our own way rather than following your will. Forgive us. We cry out to you for mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Hear the good news. God's word declares that he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. In the mercy of Almighty God, his Son Jesus was given to die for you to remove the stain of your sin. For Christ's sake, God forgives you all your sin and renews a right spirit within you. His mercy endures forever because his love for you is steadfast. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, as we begin our Lenten pilgrimage, we do so in a spirit of repentance. We are sinful and depend completely upon your mercy. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit so that we might follow you in paths of righteousness. We pray through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the children's sermon. Come on up, kids. All right, good evening, everybody. How are y'all doing? Good, good. Okay, I'm going to ask you a dangerous question. And I just want you to answer with a yes or no, and I don't need you to elaborate, okay? Have you ever done something bad? Yes. Do you see why I said don't elaborate? Because I'm sure we could spend the whole children's message talking about things we've done bad, and I think we'd probably get the whole congregation laughing at all the stories we would tell, even though those types of stories aren't very funny. I wonder, you know, when you do something bad, you know, because first off, a lot of times you feel it in your heart, don't you? We feel guilty for what we've done. Maybe we don't even realize what we did was bad at first, but then a teacher or a parent reminds us from right and wrong, and that guilt is there in our heart. And what do we do when we've done something bad and we feel that kind of guilt in our heart? Pray to God for forgiveness. Very good. And we go find the person that we did something bad against, and we ask them, we would say to them what words? We'd say, I'm sorry. You know, if that person loves you and knows the Lord, you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, I forgive you. Absolutely. I forgive you. Yeah, those are wonderful words to hear. They're the best words in the world, really, because it means that that person is giving up the right that they would have to get even with you, right? They're choosing to set aside their anger because of what you did and instead just turn towards you in love and forgiveness to where there's nothing wrong between you anymore. And those feelings of guilt that we have when we know that person forgives us, they go away and we feel so much better, don't they? You know, God's a lot like that too. In fact, he's the perfect example of love and forgiveness. Every time we realize we've done something wrong, we don't just need to talk to the person that we've done something wrong against, we talk to God about it too, just like you knew. We pray to God and we ask his forgiveness, and even in a world where people aren't always perfectly forgiving, God is always perfectly forgiving. Today on Ash Wednesday, this is the beginning of a season of Lent. It's a time where we try and think a little bit more about the things that we've done wrong in this life, the things that we've not really done that are God-pleasing or the way that we break God's commandments. But you know what? When we do that, we do it with something in mind, God's mercy. You see, God's mercy is when he chooses not to get even with us for our sin, when he chooses not to give us the punishment that we deserve. And God gives us his mercy because of what his Son, Jesus Christ, has done for us. That's exactly why we have that cross on our forehead tonight, not some other shape, to remind us that God's mercy was shown to us on the cross, where Christ laid down his perfect life in order to exchange his perfection and righteousness for our sins. And that means that every time we talk to God and we say, God, I'm sorry, we know that his answer is, I forgive you and I love you. And we don't have to carry around those feelings of guilt anymore. So as we spend these next number of weeks together, coming together not just on Sundays but on Wednesdays too, we're going to be reminded a lot of the things that we've done that aren't so good. But never forget about God's mercy that he shows us in the cross. That's the most important thing, because of the mercy that he has there, we know that we can come clean with God, tell him everything we've done, and he promises to wash away the stain of our sins. Would you guys pray with me? We'll have the whole congregation pray aloud. Dear God, help us in Lent to think about our sins and learn to ask your forgiveness. Help us always remember your mercy and the forgiveness that comes from Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks for coming up this evening. Our Old Testament reading for Ash Wednesday is from Joel chapter 2. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 1. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise. The Holy Gospel from Matthew, the 6th chapter. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces and that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we don't encounter ashes very much in our contemporary society. We live in a culture that sanitizes everything. Anything that's unsightly like ashes, well, they've been removed from our view. At one time, not so long ago, ashtrays were everywhere, but now they're out of sight. Even among those who smoke, many have switched to e-cigarettes or vaping. Those produce no ashes at all. And I would imagine that you only deal with ashes if you've got a wood-burning fireplace, but now even that is mostly replaced with gas-burning logs or homes built with no fireplace at all. So rarely in our hygienic modern lives do we engage with ashes. But one day each year, we do encounter ashes. We engage them up close and personal. We mark our faces with them. They visibly mark our foreheads. Of course, that day is today, Ash Wednesday. Christians have marked themselves with ashes, as we've done tonight, for centuries upon centuries. It's a gesture of humility and a gesture of repentance. We even read about it in the Bible. For example, Job humbled himself and repented, it says, in dust and ashes. Daniel pleaded with God in prayer, fasting in sackcloth and ashes. We're told in the book of Esther that the entire Jewish people fasted and they wore ashes during their time of lament. The prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel each summon their hearers to repent with ashes. And Jeremiah calls out, quote, O my people, put on sackcloth and roll in ashes. Even Jesus Christ himself refers to repentance with sackcloth and ashes. All of these biblical references associate the sign of ashes with repentance. So on this Ash Wednesday, this solemn day of repentance in the church, the ashes remind us just how deeply we need to repent. Why is it that ashes in particular are a symbol of repentance? Well, first of all, to get down into the dust means to humble yourself, to go low in a stance of humiliation before God. In repentance, we humble ourselves before him. Secondly, ashes are dirty. They remind us of the filth and the stain of our sin. Repentance acknowledges that sin clings to us like dirt. And third, and most solemnly, ashes are associated with death. Death, the penalty for sin. After humanity's first sin, God condemned sinners to death by saying, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The words ashes to ashes and dust to dust are spoken on the occasion of many burials. So when we repent, we confess that we deserve death because of our sin. I guess that brings us to a second and even more important question, which is, why should we repent? The biblical text for today from Job tells us why. It reads, "Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend or tear your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God." Two times in the text, the Lord tells us to return. Return to me with all your heart. Return to the Lord your God. The word that's translated here in this text as return is the same word that is so frequently translated elsewhere in the biblical text as repent. It literally means to turn from sin to God, to make a 180-degree reversal. And this call to turn or return or repent, it's addressed here in Job not to the unbelieving pagan world, but believe it or not, to God's people. The call to repentance is not aimed just at those out there. It's aimed at us. Why should we turn? Why should we repent? Well, it's because we're sinful, continually rolling around in sin. The epistle lesson makes it clear. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. There was once a man who was bold enough to pray these words to God. He prayed, "Lord, today I haven't lied, gossiped, been unkind, or lost my temper. I haven't had an impure thought or a selfish motive. But now it's time for me to get out of bed." In other words, it's not going to be long after he rises from sleep that he will run headlong into sin. We also were quickly dirtied with sin at the beginning of every day. The mark of sin, it's constantly upon us. The penalty of death, it's constantly before us. So the first reason we repent is because we are filthy with sin. The second reason we repent is because God is merciful. Verse 13 of that text says, "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster." We repent in order to receive God's promised mercy. Our Lenten series, as we come together these next Wednesday evenings, revolves around the theme of God's divine mercy. It's a season in Lent when we take a look at our lives, but we look at them in view of God's mercy towards us, and towards the sacrifice of God's Son on the cross. Jesus Christ came down into this sin-filled world, this dirty place. He took upon himself the filth of our sin, even though none of it was his own. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made Christ to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus suffered and died to pay the penalty of your sin, so that you would be washed clean of your spiritual filth. God promises us in 1 John 1, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why, as I've mentioned already, this imposition of ashes on Ash Wednesday is made in the sign of the cross. The pastor places ashes upon the forehead with a horizontal and a vertical stroke, forming this image of the cross. It declares to us that we have been forgiven by Christ, the crucified one. It attests to the mercy of God. We're marked with the sign of the cross to remind us also of our own baptisms when we first received God's mercy. Our own baptisms where we receive also the sign of the cross upon our forehead and upon our heart to mark us as one forgiven by Christ the crucified. We're marked by the cross to be a witness to our world that God's mercies are new every day as we live in a repentant faith. So we repent. We repent today on Ash Wednesday. We repent during the next 40 days, during the season of Lent. We repent every day of our lives. We do so in view of God's mercy as repentance and forgiveness of sins becomes a permanent mark in our lives. You know, there was another pastor in another rural community He was preparing one year for Ash Wednesday, and he remembered that he hadn't made the ashes for the service. Now, I don't make the ashes myself, but this pastor, it was his tradition to gather some of last year's palm branches from Palm Sunday. You would burn them into ashes to use in the next Ash Wednesday rite. But he'd forgotten to do it, and he realized it too late, so he decided he would do what was the next best thing, he thought. He went out to the brush pile behind the church, and he pulled out the Christmas tree that was now long dried out. He cut some of the pine branches off of it, and he burned them into ashes. When Ash Wednesday arrived, he used these ashes to mark the foreheads of his parishioners. Later that evening, before he fell asleep, he got a phone call. It was from an angry member. She complained that she couldn't wash the mark of the ashes off of her forehead. The mark was seemingly permanent. So he went to the mirror and tried to rinse the ashes off of his own forehead, but the mark remained on him too. In fact, the mark of the cross on the foreheads of every single parishioner who received ashes that night remained visible for several days after Ash Wednesday. Only over time and repeated washings did the mark disappear. What happened? Well, apparently the pine branches from the Christmas tree had originally been sprayed with some kind of dye to preserve the color. The chemical elements of the dye remained in the ashes. It stained the foreheads of the people who received those ashes on their foreheads. Now, the members were understandably a little bit irritated by the semi-permanent stain on their foreheads, but I guess we can all take a lesson from this. The unintended but important message from that incident is that repentance is not just for one day only. Repentance is to be a permanent mark on our lives. And the cross, the symbol of God's mercy, it's to be visible in our lives at all times. On this Ash Wednesday and during this season of Lent, and in every day, may repentance be a permanent mark upon each of your lives. And then we will truly live a life of repentance in view of God's mercy. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Spirit within me, cast me not away from thy presence, and not thy hope.
Please rise for the prayers. Almighty and merciful God, we approach your throne of grace today as sinners who require your cleansing. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions.
Lord,
wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
Lord,
purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Lord,
hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Lord,
cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Lord,
restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit.
Lord,
then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the merciful God, who is faithful and just, to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, empower you to live according to his good and gracious will, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated for the final hymn. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.